song and you liked it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. I don't know how these studies that we're having on Sunday night of the Pauline epistles, how much information you're getting from these. I hope you're learning something. The Pauline epistles are where most of the church doctrine comes from. And tonight we're going to be in the book of Colossians. It's just four chapters long. It was written by Paul. It was one of the prison epistles. And so he wrote it to the Colossians. This epistle starts off, as most of Paul's other epistles, with an apostolic greeting. The apostolic greeting, Paul is not alone in giving this greeting. He is with Timothy. And there are others on the way to help Paul minister to the various churches that he's going to minister. Paul assures that this church, like many of the others that Paul wrote to, was on track to be obedient to the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God in preparing the local church to minister to the people in its sphere. We have a sphere of people around this church. They are neighbors. Some have never even noticed the church is here, but there are people that we have a chance to minister to, and that is the whole purpose of our being here, is to minister to those people. God planted this church here. Yes, Marvin Wood may have been the founder or the planter of the church, but it was God who actually planted it. It was the Holy Spirit who saved the souls that became the foundation of what this church was going to become. And there are two things in particular that Paul emphasizes in this letter to the Colossians. The first thing is that all Christians everywhere be thankful for all that Jesus brings into their life with salvation. I don't know if you can think back to what your life was like before you were saved, but it was pretty empty. It was pretty valueless. We would call that, there's a word for that called vain. And one of the things that identifies a Christian is a person who is grateful to God for what is going on in their life. If you meet a person who is bitter, if you meet a person who is selfish, odds are they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The one true characteristic of the Christian is gratefulness, thankfulness. I hope everybody seated here tonight is thankful for something that God is doing in your life. He doesn't do bad things. He only does good things. And he does that because he loves us. And thankfulness is an indication that there has been a change within the heart of the true believer. The person who has not yet believed is looking at self. They are not looking at the people around them. They're looking at self. And I believe that I can safely say that if there is no thankfulness, there most likely is no salvation. If there is no thankfulness, there's probably no salvation. Salvation causes a person's character to be transformed. That's one of the things that Paul is dealing with here in this letter to the church at Colossae. Attachment to worldly appetites is dissolved by a union with Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Extreme gratitude is manifested in the life and in the heart of the born-again believer. And that's one of the things that Paul addresses as he writes to the church at Colossae, is the fact that that church was a thankful church and he was thankful for the church. When the scriptures tell us that old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new, that is part of what it's talking about, is the change in each of us once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that is changed is that the love of God fills our hearts for all of those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever been mad with a brother or a sister? What do you need to do to get over that mad? You need to forgive, don't you? You need to forgive, no matter what it is. And if you can't do that, you're not being obedient to Jesus Christ. There's also a love for the lost. That's a bit of a burden. We have a love in our souls for them to the point that we are concerned about their eternity and how it will be spent. I find that I yearn for those who are lost and without Jesus Christ. Paul was concerned that the churches that he was involved with conduct themselves so as not to bring dishonor or shame upon the testimony of Jesus. Everything that you and I do affects Jesus Christ one way or the other. We either are honoring him or we are shaming him by our attitudes. And if we shame him, we are making it more difficult for unbelievers to believe on him. After all, the church is the body of Christ upon this earth. This morning we looked at the superiority of Christ as it's given us in chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. So we're not going to go there again. But tonight we're going to look at overall the letter to the Colossians. Paul, in the last part of chapter 1, deals with the things that God has called him to deal with regarding the ministry of the church. The church has to have a local ministry. Let me say that again. The church has to have a local ministry. Folks, if the church does not have a local ministry, it's not a church. It's a club. And there's a lot of clubs around this town. They call it Holy City. It's certainly not holy. But this city has a lot of clubs, not churches. There are a few churches, but many clubs. The people of the church need to be fed, and they need to be watered. Sort of sounds like a horse, doesn't it? They have to be fed with the Word of God for knowledge. And if we preach any other thing, man's wisdom or politics or anything else, we are not doing what God put us here to do. So the people have to be fed with the Word of God for knowledge and for energy. They have to have the water of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Do you feel the Holy Spirit working through you? Are there times he says no? Are there times when he says go? Are there times when he says do this, do that? Or don't do this and don't do that? Well, those are times when you have a chance to interact with God's Holy Spirit. And that's who founded the church Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? That was when the Holy Spirit indwelled every member of the church. Every member, every true member of the church. If a person is not indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they are not a part of the church. Think about that. If we have a member who is not indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they should not be a member because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church is not working to serve the Lord according to his direction, then it dries up and ceases to exist. These things cover the first chapter of Colossians. Now, Paul discloses that he is greatly troubled for the church at Colossae, as well as the church at Laodicea. Paul wants the letter to Colossae to be read to the church at Laodicea as well. We're 2,000 years later. The church at Colossae, the church at Laodicea, neither of them exist any longer because they dried up. They dried up. They did not have the Word of God. They did not have the Holy Spirit working there. And God was, and Paul was concerned about that. Remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote a letter to the church of Laodicea. You find it in the last part of chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. And that was the church that, what was he going to do with that? Spew it out of his mouth. It was not going to be a part of him any longer because they were neither cold nor hot. And that's one of the things that we need to be concerned about our own church. There needs to be a certain fervency, a certain heat about serving the Lord. And Paul was writing to the church of Colossae to try and inspire them to generate that heat and be a part of that. If you will remember in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, the Lord rebuked that particular church because it was dying, the church at Laodicea. And it was only lukewarm. It doesn't exist today because the Lord had to pull a few weeds, and that church was one of them. It was expressed in Revelation by saying that the Lord would spew the church out of his mouth. Any group who calls themselves a church that doesn't maintain obedience to the things of the Bible will be eliminated by the Lord one way or another. The Lord can close churches, and he does. And he has been doing so lately because of the fact that churches have not been obedient to him. Now, who makes up a church? The people. It's not this building we're meeting in. Oh, it may have a steeple. It could even have a bell, but we don't have one, or chimes. We have people, and the people are the church. And so you may notice, as you read through the Bible and as you read the book of Colossians, you may notice that Paul spent a lot of time warning the churches about false teachers and leaders. And there are a lot of them out there, folks, a lot of them. He was concerned that the world would sneak in and corrupt the doctrine and the ministry of the church. Part of his warning is contained in verses Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Let's look at those, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. It tells us, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, abounding with thanksgiving. Do you notice that Paul doesn't just talk about giving of thanks, but talks about the abounding of thanksgiving? That means that most of all these people, what they talked about was the giving of thanks to God for all that he was doing for them. I hope you go through the day more than once saying, "Thank you, Lord." When you get up in the morning, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day." That's the way Gabrielle and I start out, thanking the Lord for another day. And then we can thank the Lord for all the good things. AB, we need to pray for AB tonight. He's in a lot of pain. That's why he's not here. And we can thank the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in the pain, that someone else is," and then pray for that someone else. And that's a good way to start the day off. So he thanked the Lord that he walked with him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Where do you get taught this? You get taught this in front of the television set? Really? No. You get taught this by your daily Bible reading. You get taught this when you come to Sunday school, when you come to Wednesday night service, when you come to Sunday morning, Sunday evening service. That is why we're here, is to be taught. And so Paul mentions the fact that we can abound with thanksgiving. It's like filling a glass till it runs over, or a cup till it runs over. And unless you're running over with thanksgiving, there's a problem. So almost all these people, all they talked about was giving of thanks to God. And one thing that I've noticed quite often is that when there's a special need, that God sends just the right person to meet that need. For many years of my Christian life, I have been amazed at who God sends to help with a need. We have a very special person here. He's not here, so I can brag about him a little bit tonight. AB has kept this church going since the very beginning. He has installed bathroom fans. He's not supposed to be on a ladder. He has repaired this. He has repaired that. He has just done so much. He's kept so many air conditioners going. And he just keeps stuff going. That's his ministry. That's why God put him here. And I'm so grateful. And God has put each one of you here because there is a need for you here in this ministry. I don't know what your special talent is, but if we need a mechanic, God does not send a plumber, okay? If we have need for some kind of a specialist, God doesn't send us a farmer unless we want to know how to grow a garden. But whatever we have a need for, God sends that person. And that person, one of you are that person. And that's why he has put you here. And I'm so glad that he has. We found out by accident we've got a couple of concrete workers. And they've been patching our parking lot, and the places that they've patched have stayed patched. And I've been told by more than one person in particular, that we have some holes getting big out in the parking lot. And some of you have discovered that, haven't you? Because you've hit them. Well, we'll get those patched. Not tomorrow, but they will be patched in the near future. So God has sent each one of you here for a special reason. You're not just here to keep a chair warm. You're not just here to sing a hymn. You're not just here to support the church financially. You are here for a specific purpose that God has for you. Now, whether it's to show off a wig, I don't know. But I promise you I won't wear one, okay? Now, a good example of the supplying of our needs would be God's communication with Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. God had a purpose for her, and he does have a purpose for you to complete, and he's not going to keep it secret from you. God is going to tell you what he wants you to do. He is. I don't know if it'll be here or if someone will recommend you do something or suggest, ask you to do something, but God has given each one of you a purpose here at this church. And I am so grateful that he has put you here. It is not a one-person operation. It's an everybody operation. And that's where we want to keep it. So, God is going to tell you what he wants from you. And once he tells you, then you've got to get busy on that job, that project. God, before you ever existed, before you were ever conceived by your parents, God had intended a program for you. He has qualified you to serve him, and he has prepared you to do what is needed. He has given you strength and knowledge and opportunity. Why would you not be able to do what God wants? I ask the question because there's a reason why you might not be able to serve God. I ask the question, you couldn't serve God if you didn't have faith. If you do not have faith, you can't serve God. What does the book of Hebrews tell us? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently serve him. So, tonight, you need to believe that God is and that he has got a purpose for you and he's going to use you. If you're not grounded in the faith, then you don't have the ability to serve God. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. You have to have faith that God wants to use you and that he will empower you to do the task. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't believe that God has a purpose for you, you're wrong. God has a purpose for everyone. And you might say, well, I can't do the things I used to do. He's still got something for you to do. Maybe it's a whole new thing. Maybe it's a whole new relationship. But he has something he wants for you to do. And he will empower you to do what he needs done. Lately, many of our brothers and sisters have experienced a special closeness to God. As we tend to go through the day, God seems to be right beside us. And it is such a beautiful feeling to know that we are beside him, we are walking beside him, we are experiencing him This past week, I was by myself in the car. I think I was going to pick up Gabrielle after school on Monday. And suddenly, everything was just so beautiful. Everything was just so peaceful. Everything was just so right at that moment. And I had to say, thank you, God. Because God wants to give you, each one of you, joy. He wants you to experience joy. What does the Bible tell us? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is the day. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to rejoice. This past week, I've spent some time alone with God. I hope you have too. I felt a special closeness that has been a very sweet and stirring spiritual fulfillment, a desire to be in the presence of God personally. Oh, I'm not planning on getting on the bus to heaven. I just want to be close to God. Something inside of me has hungered to be able to touch God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not been enough to just talk to Him in prayer, but there's been a desire to immerse my soul in His presence and to be flooded with His love. It's been a beautiful thing to serve Him this week and to be close to Him and to talk with Him and to experience Him. I hope you have too. He can be experienced. He can be. I think that God has been reaching out to His children in preparation for calling them home. Several of our church family have recently felt a closeness and a presence of God that many have, if not felt. I think that God is working in the lives of all those who are faithful. If you are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe God is working in your life. Why should the people who are not living for the Lord expect God to be in communication with them? It is so important that we remain faithful. We must be very careful not to leave the will of the Lord and let down on keeping in the middle of the path that He has put each one of us on. You're on a path. It leads somewhere. There is a purpose for you going down that path. You need to know what that is. Would God keep that a secret from you? No, He wouldn't. He will tell you. Why would He keep it a secret? He's made you to be a particular person. He has given you a particular task that He wants you to fulfill. Why would He not tell you? We're to get away from the things of the world. I'm deeply concerned when I see a person who claims to belong to the Lord, and I see them involved in the things of the world more than they are involved in the things of the Lord. It doesn't mean that they don't miss church once in a while, but when they start missing church regularly and maintaining a good schedule with things of the Lord, that person has got a problem in their heart. A person cannot do that. if they are not dedicated to the Lord and that they make him their priority. It's so disappointing to see people who claim to know Christ missing so many church activities, knowing that they keep up with all the activities of the world. I'm sure that God is disappointed too. Chapter 3 of Colossians opens with a truth that so many claiming to be Christian ignore. It is very damaging to an individual's testimony to claim to believe one thing and be doing something completely the opposite. That is not only foolish, but it is rebellion against God. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 tells us this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. These first three verses of chapter 3 disclose a vital truth that cannot be falsified without some, not only criticism, but costly consequences that God is forced to impose upon the like of the rebel, saying one thing and doing the opposite. Sometime, when we think we're getting away with things with God, sometime there will be a consequence. It may take years, but there will be a consequence. Because God is just and he cannot let it go. That's part of the fear of God, knowing that he will catch up with us. If a person is a new creature in Christ, that person should be different. And if they are not different, or they are still involved with the things of the world, then they better do some soul searching and talking with God. Paul was having the same kind of problems with the people of his day. Paul wrote Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Unless you are wearing the new man, you are lying to the people when you tell them that you're a Christian. No one is a Christian until they submit to wearing the new man. Oh, the old man's still inside, but the new man is in there too. Paul talks about the new man a good bit in his letter to the church at Colossae. He closes out the third chapter with some rules for the Christian household, finishing with a warning about God's ability to not just remember, but to bring about the proper consequences for the deed done. As Paul finishes the epistle to the Colossians, he gave a few more directions. He starts with those in authority. If a person is in a position of responsibility, they have an extra hard job to maintain a testimony because they claim to be different. They claim to be a Christian. Does that mean they can't fire an inferior employee? If you are in a position of authority, do you have the authority? Do you have the right to fire an employee who is inferior, who is negligent? There are people who say, oh, you're a Christian. You're not a Christian if you fire people, if you dispose of people. We have to do the same thing in the church. That is part of the authority. Holding people to God's rules, not ours. And when we let somebody go, when we rebuke someone, when we criticize someone, it is to be in love, not in anger. Remember that. That's the one characteristic of a Christian that cannot be fudged. We've got to be loving to everyone, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. Part of our life is loving them. We have to be the example for those around us. Paul gave a few more examples, and he was done with the letter to the church at Colossae. Colossians 4, 2-6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's that word again. Thanksgiving. Praying. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Like I said, Paul wrote this letter from prison, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, people who are lost. Redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And this can be our prayer for the rest of our life, and that others will see Jesus in us. And that, I know we're early tonight, but that finishes up the letter to the church at Colossae. Any questions or any comments? How about my thorn in the flesh? Shirley and I really love each other. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for men like Paul, who you called, who you anointed, who you used. For men like Paul, who you gave courage, bravery, who you made it possible for them to communicate not just with the people of their day, but with the people now, with us. Father, use each one of us. Show us what you would have us to do this week. And Father, may we be a tool in your hand to accomplish your will in the lives of people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Thank you, Father, for each one that you have brought here, you have prepared here, and Father, for those you are using here. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to be faithful. And Father, we will praise you and your Holy Spirit for all that he does, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.